Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, loaded on a Tuesday live in L.A. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joel Klatt this hour. Urban Meyer stops by, a member of the Dallas Cowboys. DeForest Buckner of the San Francisco 49ers stops by. What a performance by Joe Burrow. 1 hour from now, we're going to play a game called Joe Burrow versus. Not Joe versus the volcano, but would you take Joe Burrow over a list of NFL quarterbacks after what we saw last night? Joy Taylor is joining me. How are you?
I am wonderful. That was a great game last night.
It was.
Enjoyed every second of it. Thought it was going to be a little bit closer, but
yeah,
I am. I'm glad I was right about Joe Burrow. And, quite a performance.
And LSU was fantastic, 628 total yards.
Unreal.
Against a very great Clemson team who was favored to be back in this game next year. It should be noted, the OBJ Jarvis Landry LSU team lost three times and finished in the Outback Bowl. This is what happens when you get the quarterback right. They cinch it all together. LSU's been a football factory for as long as I've been watching football. But they've never had a team like this because they've never had a quarterback like this. And the San Francisco 49ers have had a lot of good players in the last 3 or 4 years and a great coach. But they're 4-20 without Garoppolo. Aaron Rodgers got hurt a few years ago. 9 games he missed, they won 3. This year with a rookie head coach, I'm still not sure is a great coach, they've won 14 games. Joe Burrow tied it all together. But I want to talk about a bigger, broader part of this story and why football continues to be so much more popular than basketball in America. College football is a million times more popular than college basketball, and the NFL ratings are up on every network this year, and the NBA's down 19%. And I like basketball. But one of the reasons football connects with so many Americans, it's us. Joe Burrow was not even considered an NFL prospect in September. He will now be picked number one. It's mid-January. Hard work, kicked to the curb, transferred, and doubted. He's coachable, he worked his ass off, and he is going to now make millions of dollars. The Joe Burrow story doesn't happen in other sports. Other sports don't have half of their players like the NFL that are undrafted. Look around to football. Baker Mayfield transferred twice. Kyler Murray told to transfer. Russell Wilson had to transfer. Cam and Aaron Rodgers went to junior colleges. Patrick Mahomes, nobody wanted him. Drew Brees had to go to Purdue. Joe Burrow had to transfer. It's the story of overcoming, of being told no. Pampered kids are spoiled kids, are bad adults. Basketball's too much into pampering. Oh, the horror! High school to Duke for 6 months. Coach K, Bill Self, awful. You know what football says? Son, come to our school. Minimum 3 years, probably 4. It may end up 5. We wouldn't consider paying you. You'll get hurt. You may have to ride the bench and transfer. But when you come out of the tunnel of football, you'll be emotionally and physically a man and prepared for the millions you can make. Basketball panders and coddles and pampers. Football does not. That's why half the league is undrafted. That's why. It's us. It's overcoming. Ed Orgeron mocked and kicked to the curb. Football develops men. I've been in NBA locker rooms, hockey locker rooms, baseball locker rooms, and football locker rooms. And NFL guys, after 4 and 5 years of getting their butt kicked in college, they come in hungry, grateful, and men. They marry earlier. They grow up faster because they have to overcome. This weekend in the NFL playoffs, the highest drafted quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. And the Miami Dolphins, his first team, bailed on him. He got hurt. You know, we want to get a younger, healthier guy. What did Ryan Tannehill do? Whine about it, complain, call his agent? No, he packed his bags, grabbed his family, and went to Tennessee and rides the bench and crosses his finger for another opportunity. And football always gives you one. People get hurt. People disappoint. And Tannehill will now play the AFC Championship. I love basketball, but I respect football because it asks so much of you. And it develops you. It's not a race to get you paid. It's a race to make you a man. Joe Burrow last night is playing his arse off. And I texted an NFL GM. He's a really good GM. And I say, what do you make of Joe Burrow? And you know what the GM told me? He goes, I didn't know in October. But every time I watched him, he got better. Yeah. He got better because he had to transfer. And he was told at Ohio State, you're not as good as the other guy. And last year he was humbled. Joe Burrow is not just a football story. He's an American story. He's relatable. I can't wait to watch him play at Cincinnati. And he may not make it. Maybe it'll look like Baker. Or maybe it'll look like Kyler. Or maybe it'll look like Lamar and Russell Wilson. But it's a story I can connect with. Hard work, overcoming, kick to the curb. It's the story of the NFL playoffs this weekend and the story, congrats to LSU and Joe Burrow, of last night. Let me shift to this. It was also, it should be noted, and I know you won't believe this, it was a great night for Trevor Lawrence. It was. Trevor Lawrence, since he was 15 years old, and I saw him at a camp when he was 16, he was so much better than all the other senior quarterbacks, and he was just a junior. Trevor Lawrence has not been on a football field probably for close to 10 years and been the second best quarterback in that moment on the field. He got hit last night. He got rushed last night. He got humbled last night. He didn't play very good. Everything was sailing. He was nervous. He was anxious. LSU can do that to you. Trevor Lawrence's life so far, and I'm not saying he hasn't earned it, but it's been a lot of Saturdays when he's up by 32 at half. That is not the NFL. The NFL is about making you uncomfortable. And because Dabo's a great coach and Venable's a great coordinator and it's a football factory, he's throwing to five-star receivers and handed off to five-star running backs, and he's got four- and five-star offensive linemen, and the ACC right now doesn't have another program with those kind of players. Trevor Lawrence's college football career has been a lot of 47-point wins, and until last night, not a single loss, and the loss was great for him. And he was humbled, and he was nervous, and he was overwhelmed. I mean, good God, how good are LSU's defensive backs? Lord, you'll be seeing them on Sunday real soon. That freshman, Lord. But this is the story of the NFL. Transfer, doubted, benched. Trevor Lawrence's career didn't have a last night. I mean, didn't have one. And I'm watching him last night, and I still think he's not going to drop in the draft. This means nothing. Tua suffered a rare and serious medical injury. They will be moving up. There'll be multiple teams moving up and scrambling and giving away half a dozen picks to get Tua, who's smaller, who's had multiple injuries. Trevor Lawrence losing doesn't hurt his stock one iota. Do you remember Andrew Luck's losses? Nobody cares. He's a all-time transformational talent. But his career until last night was really about comfort. And last night he was uncomfortable and he sailed it and he whistled it over heads and he got whacked and he looked like, for the first time in a long time, not remotely comfortable in the pocket. And afterwards, I think he knows it was okay.
First of all, LSU did a really good job. They brought a lot of pressure. They did a good job mixing up the coverages. But just at the end of the day, I just didn't play well enough for us to win, you know. Too many missed plays by me, missed a lot of receivers, and, you know, just wasn't my night. Man, it sucks, but you got to look back on what you've done, and we've done some great things, and we got a lot more in store ahead.
two great quarterbacks. One's headed to the NFL. One is headed to the NFL in about a year. Just loved watching both of them play. The good, the bad, the ugly. What a fun night.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Josh McDaniels did not get any of these jobs, did not even get an interview for anybody outside of Cleveland. Now, I've got my own personal opinion on this. I did not think he was a good fit in Cleveland, and I think when he did what he did to the Colts, it did not do his reputation any good. I think he is Lane Kiffin. You love him or you hate him, and there's a lot of NFL people that will never touch Josh McDaniels because what he did to the Colts and Chris Ballard, and Chris Ballard is close with Andy Reid, and everybody in this league loves Andy Reid. But it does matter that he's coming back to New England, as Joy said, because I do think he matters more to Tom Brady and New England right now than any other team. And I had said during the year that if Brady hit the market, there would be a lot of suitors. But one of the things I like about my job is evolve, grow, watch stuff. I sit and watch games all weekend, all day. I get new information. And I've said before, if I was a pilot and you were on my plane and I got new information, there's a lightning storm coming, I would take it and turn right and avoid the lightning storm. If I was a doctor and had your son or daughter on the table and had new medicine that could help them, I would use it. And in sports, I don't stick to opinions if I get new information. I thought Brady had a bad December. I thought he looked tired. He is 43, at best marginally athletic, and now expensive, and kind of stuck in his ways. I watched Joe Burrow, and I watched Tua, and I watched Justin Herbert, who was very good in the Rose Bowl, and I see Trevor Lawrence, and I watched Justin Fields. And I think to myself, is there really a market for Tom Brady? I don't know. You know, I've said this before about Russell Westbrook. The league is trending away from Russell Westbrook, who's having his worst statistical season in a decade. It is a shooter's league, and he does a lot well, but he doesn't shoot. The league is trending away from Tom Brady. Old, expensive, and not capable of great mobility as offensive lines fail. That's not where the league is going. So ask yourself, what is the market? We've got three new bad teams who will solve their quarterback issue. Since he's getting Burrow, write it down. Miami's probably getting Tua. And then the Chargers or Carolina will move right up, not back, to get Justin Herbert. I think all three, after watching Burrow the last couple of weeks, I think all three are going to work in the NFL. In fact, there's a new trend happening in football, which is awesome if you're a pro football fan or a college fan. There's almost no first-round quarterback busts anymore. Josh Rosen hasn't worked. Paxton Lynch was a bust. Outside of that, the last 15, like 13 are like, you can win games. Second-round guys, third-round guys, you can win games. The NFL is adopting more of the college principles. It is allowing for much greater success and a much greater hit rate for quarterbacks. They're not only working in the NFL now, they're working fast. Like, they're working fat. Josh Allen's like, oh, he's a playoff quarterback. Lamar Jackson's going to be MVP. So they're not just working. They're working quickly. And I'm watching Burrow. He's going to work pretty soon. And Trevor Lawrence will work. And Tua's going to work. And Justin Herbert, he got better in the last two games against Utah and Wisconsin. He's going to work. And I'd ask you, who wants a 43-year-old quarterback that's expensive, the game's moving away from him, and you have a quarterback deficit? So you say Jaguars. No, Nick Foles is making $22 million. You don't have any space for him. Well, with the Raiders, they got Derek Carr. Come on, let's move past Derek. Derek Carr's good. He's going to stay in Oakland. And then I start looking around and I think to myself, Chicago. No, they continue to pretend that Mitch Trubisky's their guy. Also, remember, 27-year-old Teddy Bridgewater's on the market. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I would have no problem if I was a team, you know, out there like the Colts, I'd go get Teddy Bridgewater. And then I would draft a couple of quarterbacks behind him. I don't think he's a 10-year guy, but he's 27. He's smart. He learns a playbook. He doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't win all the games for you, but he almost never loses a game for you. But what's the market now for Brady? The more I think about it, the more I watch college football, the more I see all these young quarterbacks working, the more I watch the trends of the league, I don't think there's a huge market for him. And he's getting his center back. I read that story yesterday. He's getting Josh McDaniels back. You know, they've got some cap space. It's a fairly young team in certain spots. It's expensive in others, like Stephon Gilmore, and old in others. But I think it's much easier for New England to go out and get Amari Cooper than it is for Tom Brady to go into a new city that was a little bit rigid, a little bit expensive. Unless you have a great offensive line like the Colts, that seems like a good fit for me. I don't think it works. I mean, I think the Colts is the one I kind of think works. Offensive line, smart, respected coach, good GM, ready to win now. I don't think Giselle is going to say, let's move the family to Indianapolis. I think she's tolerating Boston, tolerating it. She's a supermodel, would rather live in Miami, Los Angeles. I just don't think there's much of a market. I think it's drying up. I really do, and I think New England's the place for him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
When Andrew Luck was in college, I was like sophomore year, I'm like number one pick. Right. Trevor Lawrence, I think he's great. I think he's a transformational talent, all-time talent. I don't look at last night and worry about anything. Good Lord, folks. People lose college games all the time. Tom Brady lost a few. Trevor Lawrence is great. But Joe Burrow, somebody that, you know, none of us thought he was going to be this in September. Most of us didn't think he was going to be this in October. A few of you did in November. Many of you did in December. And now January, we're like, yeah, he looks like a number one pick. He got better and better and better. And he's an older kid and he's been around and it's 5 years. But it's like he got better. Better, 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 better. So I think he's a legitimate number one pick today. But the question becomes, how much do I like him? So I like to give my opinions on stuff. And then if I'm wrong, you can call me out. Never afraid of being wrong. Don't give a rip about it. So I'll just size up. We're going to play a game called Joe Versus. Over the next 10 years, this is over a decade now, would I rather have Joe Burrow or who Joy Taylor offers? You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Okay, would you rather have Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson?
That's easy. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson. He is a unique athletic talent. He also has the Ravens organization behind him, and Joe Burrow will have the Bengals organization, meaning Baltimore tends to draft better players and have better coaches. So I would take Lamar Jackson because I think who your coach is and who your owner is and who your GM is matters.
Would you rather have Burrow or Baker?
I think Burrow's a better prospect. I think he's bigger. I think he's more athletic. I think he throws a better deep ball. He doesn't have silly videos with law enforcement. I don't think there's any question that Burrow's a better prospect. If you ask NFL GMs today about who's a better prospect, it's Joe Burrow.
Burrow or Big Ben?
Okay, it's 10 years. I would take Joe Burrow. Again, I think Big Ben is going to come back. There have been stories this year that he's not sure. I mean, a lot of people are like, the injury is worse than you think. So I think Ben's got about 2 years left in the league.
Would you rather have Burrow or Tom Brady?
That's Joe Burrow. Again, I think Burrow's actually a better prospect than Tom was. And he's also, you know, 23 instead of 43.
Right.
Tom's got maybe 2 years left.
It's remarkable he's 20 years younger than him and he's going to be playing in the same league as Tom Brady. Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Deshaun Watson?
It's a tricky question because one is a world-class athlete and one is with Houston, which is hard to get your arms around. They keep winning their division, but are they well run? I'd probably go to Deshaun Watson because I think he has a quality. Burrow's good at a lot of stuff. What is he great at? Deshaun is a great playmaking quarterback, Deshaun.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes?
Not real tough. Mahomes is the best quarterback talent over the next 10 years.
Burrow or Derek Carr?
Burrow is a bigger quarterback. I think he's a more athletic quarterback. It's not an easy one because I like Derek Carr more than anybody else, but I don't think Gruden's going to bail on him. And I think Gruden and Mayock have drafted well, so Derek's got some good pieces around him, but I think the Bengals have some interesting offensive pieces, so I would take slightly Burrow here.
What about Joe Burrow or Carson Wentz?
Not close. Wentz is bigger, stronger, better arm. I think Wentz is an all-time talent. He's been beat up. But if you didn't watch, if you watch Burrow in the last three or four games of this year, folks, he put he put a AAF team on his shoulders and carried them into the playoffs. Wentz is a phenomenal quarterback talent.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Dak Prescott?
I'll come back to that one.
All right. Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones. I whiffed on him. I watched him in college. I didn't think he was special. And then I watched him in the NFL, and I'm like, he's special. He's a really good athlete. They're very similar. I missed on Daniel Jones. I saw him in college, and I did not think he was spectacular, and I made a big mistake, and I think the Giants are ready. I actually do. If this coach can coach, I think they're ready to pop. I think they have some good players.
I like Daniel Jones, but I'm going to go Burrow there. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Burrow or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron's going to play for probably 6 to 7 more years. As far as arm talent, not close. Aaron's also one of the smartest guys. It's going to take Burrow a while. I mean, let's be honest. He struggled last year at LSU. It's going to take him a while to figure out the NFL system, so Aaron easily.
Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousins?
This is an easy one. I'd take Burrow. I think Burrow's a better prospect. We forget it's about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is 6'1.5". You know, he's not a big guy with not a big arm, and he's not overly athletic. He's surrounded by a ton of great players, but Burrow's a better prospect.
How about Joe Burrow or his hero, Drew Brees?
Burrow, because Brees has about 1 or 2 years left. That seems like
an
easy one.
Easy. Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Matt Ryan?
Well, do I think Burrow's ever going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league? No, I don't.
Never?
No, I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. Matt Ryan's a top 10 quarterback, so I'd take Matt Ryan. Top 10 quarterback is hard.
Yes.
Look at all the great players. Good God, who's moving out?
I just had the best statistical season in college football history.
Baker Mayfield won the Heisman. I don't know. That doesn't.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I like Garoppolo. Garoppolo's got Kyle Shanahan and George Kittle. That may be the best young coach and the best young tight end.
So Jimmy's pieces are elevating.
Listen, you're asking me next 10 years. I know what I'm getting from Jimmy. I get Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan, the MVP. I mean, we got to be honest about this stuff. It's not just your talent. Who's elevating it?
Yeah, I mean, where you go and who's around you.
I mean, you don't think
matters.
Sean Payton has helped Drew Brees? Kyle Shanahan guarantees Garoppolo's a Pro Bowler. I mean, he guarantees it for the next 10 years. He's going to have multiple Pro Bowls.
Joe Burrow or your favorite, Russell Wilson?
Not close. Russell's the best football player in America.
That was an easy one for you. Yeah. Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Jared Goff?
All right, so Joe Burrow gets Zach Taylor. Jared Goff gets his mentor, Sean McVay. And by the way, the Rams have shown an ability to get free agents. Cincinnati hasn't. Rams draft well. Again, I get Sean McVay with Jared Goff. You get Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. And by the way, a cheap owner. And an organization that is old school in their drafting and scouting. The Bengals don't have a huge scouting department. They tend to be like one of these teams that never moves around in the draft. If they have 6 picks, they make 6 picks. Rams are playmakers and deal makers during the draft. They're going to get better players around it.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's fantastic. Nobody watched him play this year. Kyler Murray's fantastic. I love watching him. I think he's the next Russell Wilson. He's a baseball player. He slides. He'll never get hurt. I think Kyler Murray, none of you guys are watching him. I live right next to Arizona, so I watch Arizona. I think Kyler Murray is special.
I'm going to go with Burrow there. Would you rather have Burrow or Tua?
Tua. Tua is Drew Brees. Tua is a better prospect.
He's not.
You guys are going crazy on this.
First of all, I'm not going crazy. I've been on Burrow for a long time now. Always liked Burrow more than Tua. Huh? Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Not even close. Trevor Lawrence.
Not even close?
Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback since Andrew Luck in college. He lost a game.
But not even close, though?
Lawrence is bigger. He's faster. He's got a cannon. I think we're just going crazy. I think it's overreaction Tuesday.
I'm not overreacting. I've been very consistent. All right, let's revisit it. You want another go at it. Joe Burrow or Dak Prescott?
I think, okay, let's consider everything.
Okay.
O-line, Mike McCarthy, Zeke.
Over the next 10 years.
I think I'm taking Dak. Dak's right now. Do we think Mike McCarthy's better than Jason Garrett?
I've always been high on Dak. So this is tough for me. But I really am all in on Joe Burrow. So it's like a
you
fine
take Burrow
line.
Over Dak. Holy crow.
I will say this. Obviously, we're considering all factors, and the Bengals are the number one factor in where you go really determines whether you're going to be successful in this
they
league.
They have
or not.
A lot.
For the most part, unless something happens Drew Brees-esque, you know, and you wind up somewhere else. So somewhere in my crazy mind, I'm living in this temporary fantasy land where the Dolphins are going to trade like 3 of their picks and move up and get Joe Burrow, and Cincinnati's going to move down.
It's
3
Dak
spots.
Against Macaulay Culkin. I like Dak.
<I'm> so wrong.
I got nothing against Joe Burrow, but you're putting up Six. You're putting up Jimmy Garoppolo and Dak have won playoff games.
I mean, over the next 10 years, like we're projecting what's going to happen.
Nobody, like Jared Goff is a classic. Everybody now hates Jared Goff. He's got Sean McVay and a deal-making GM. That they're willing to do anything to win in L.A.
I am 1,000% in on Joe Burrow. The only issue I have, which is a major issue, obviously, is it's the Bengals.
That's a real concern.
Is he good enough to overcome the Bengals? I think he might be.
I don't think he's the kind of talent that can overcome average. Now, Baker had to overcome total dysfunction.
I mean, I don't really think there's anybody that could overcome what happened with the Browns.
But I think you need a special player to overcome kind of meh. And Cincinnati's kind of meh scouting, meh drafting.
I think the Burrow is special.
All right. Well, there you go. Joe versus. And I put my name on all of them so you people on the internet can like freeze frame all those when Burrow's a 38-time Pro Bowler with 9 Super Bowl rings.
No, we love that.
I love that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Now we get ready for NFL playoffs. And I said after this weekend, these are four really good teams, but the one to me that can beat you more ways than any other, the one that really checks the boxes for me from fullback to D-line to offensive tackle to quarterback to coach to safety to tight end to wide receiver is the San Francisco 49ers. And joining us live via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network, DeForest Buckner. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You know, it's interesting, DeForest. Thanks again for coming on the show. When you play a team like Green Bay and you have success against Green Bay, and then you're going to play them again, guys like me in the media say, oh, brother, this is trouble. Do you take anything from the Green Bay first win, or does Kyle Shanahan say, bury the tape, I don't want to see it?
No, I mean, we're going to watch that game all over again. Like, when we found out we're going to play the Packers again, I put that game back on, started watching film, you know, just looking at things that I could have done better in that game. And you're going to pick things, you know, from that game that you could have got better and could have did better. But obviously we're going to get a whole new team coming into Levi's, and you know, everything that you did in the regular season goes out the window because the playoffs is a whole different beast.
People forget this. You guys start 8-0, and then virtually everybody gets hurt. Your both tackles get hurt. Your fullback gets hurt. George gets hurt. You got wide receivers hurt. And take me back to the middle of the season when you guys went into games and you didn't have 7 of your top 20 players. Take me back to what it was like to overcome that.
Yeah, it was a grind, especially having our, you know, bye in week 4. You know, that whole part of the season was a grind, losing guys. And, you know, it was the whole next man up mentality and just preparing through, you know, taking it one week at a time. And honestly, it was you could see, you know, the character in the team, the grit in all the guys finishing off. We had a lot of close games. Look back at it, and about 10 of our games throughout the season came down to the last possession. So it just shows a testament to all of the guys on the team, you know, being ready and staying ready.
It's funny, but you know, between George Kittle and some of the players on this team, people were saying this last week, you guys have a pro wrestling feel to it. And it is fun. You guys are fun to watch. Take me back to the first time that you saw Kittle at a practice. Did you know instantly, oh, Lord, we stole this guy in the 5th round? Did you know he was going to be something like this?
Yeah, honestly, his rookie year, you know, seeing some of the catches he was making in contested passes, you know, just battling, you know, defense and offense throughout training camp and OTA, seeing some of those catches that he was making, you know, you could see that he was a special guy. And, you know, the growth that he's had each and every year has been amazing to see. And the type of teammate he is, and obviously overall player, he's a superstar, man. He's all-pro Kittle for a reason, and I'm just lucky to have him on my team.
Now, Robert Saleh is that good-looking, bald defensive coordinator who's screaming and yelling, and then you have Kyle Shanahan's the genius on the offensive side. Tell me how much Shanahan participates in the defense, or does he let Robert run the show?
No, you know, I think Kyle likes to see, you know, overall what the defense is doing, but you know, Saleh pretty much takes it over. You know what I mean? And you can totally tell in practice too, even throughout training camp, you know, both of them, they like to compete against each other. And especially, you know, the offense and defense, you know, competition periods, you know, they're going back and forth. So it's great to see, you know, the competition, you know, within everyone on the team and, you know, just making each other better each and every day.
When you face Aaron Rodgers, you had success the first time. But I want you to take my audience, DeForest, mm-hmm. into facing Aaron. He does a lot of, you know, he's playing at the line of scrimmage. He's manipulating. He's trying to draw you off. It becomes a very mental game. Compare him to other quarterbacks.
You know, I would say, you know, making all those checks at the line, you know, all the audibles. I would relate him to, you know, Tom Brady, you know, because I played against Tom Brady in my rookie year. And, you know, he did a similar thing, you know what I mean? Making all the different plays, checking it at the line, all the audibles, everything, and getting the ball out and making, you know, some great throws. So, he, you know, Aaron's a future Hall of Famer, and, you know, he's scary back there. And so, you know, we got to do a really good job like we did the last time. And, you know, it starts with the run game, you know, shutting down the run game early and, you know, making a drop back pass game and, you know, trying to get after him early.
You know, when you look at these upsets, Tennessee beats Baltimore, and I mean, we're all, it's jaw-dropping. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Kansas City falls behind 24-0. And you're sitting there now as a number one seed. You're at home. The world thinks you should win this weekend. Do you ever think to yourself, man, this could be a trap? This is a huge trap. Like, how do you avoid the upset?
Blinders. You got to put your blinders on, man. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we got to come in each and every day like we did last week, you know, ready to go. You know, every single guy in the room, you know, coaches and everything, you know, came in each and every day ready to work. It didn't matter, you know, all the outside noise. We had to, you know, we got guys that play for each other, trust one another. And, you know, once we get a good game plan, we just make sure we execute whenever, you know, game day is. And that's what we need to do this week.
Is Jimmy G a verbal guy? Like Garoppolo at practice, what is he like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's a verbal guy. You know, he's a hardworking dude, man. You know, seeing him go out there each and every single day, trying to work with his receivers after practice, you know, making sure they got that connection, everything. The way he goes about his business, he's a true pro. And, you know, all of our trust is within him. Just to see his growth throughout the season has been amazing. He doesn't care, you know, about the stats or anything. You know, he just wants to put us in positions to win. And that's what he's been doing at a really, really high level this year.
DeForest Buckner, 49ers, favorite over Green Bay, second time on the show. Good luck to you, bud. You're an absolute blast to watch. It's one of the best D-lines in a long time, and now you got D Ford and Quan Alexander.
Yes, sir.
The band is back together. Good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And don't forget Jaquaski Tart. He's been a big, big, big part of our defense this year.
See, how about
that? I appreciate that.
You like that? Look, that's a good teammate right there, giving a guy some love.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's as good a college football coach as we've ever had. 3 national championships, 1 of 2 coaches to win a title at 2 different schools. Saban is the other, of course. Urban Meyer via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network. All right, let's start. Coach, let's start with this. You know, I think it's as accomplished a team as I've ever seen. They beat all these teams. I don't know if they're the best team, but good Lord, they beat a lot of good teams and a lot of SEC powers. If I said to you, best college team ever, what would your reaction be?
I think best offensive college team ever would be a great argument. The best quarterback season quarterbacks ever had would probably be, yes, best team ever. You know, I kind of looked it up this morning. You had Clemson, and then you had the there's one other team that we saw that had better offense and defensive production. So I think when you talk about team, you got to find the team that was Florida State and it was Clemson.
Yeah.
That both teams were top 5 offense and defense. And then the Florida Gator team in 08, you had, you know, a top 15 offense and defense. So I think when you put it all together, it's certainly one of them. But, you know, when you have a 20-something ranked defense, I think that's, you know, I think there's some better teams that there's been.
You know, you are a very good recruiter and you really understand personnel. I mean, you've been able to pick a lot of players and you get it, especially on offense. And I look at Joe Burrow and I'm going to ask you, as a personnel guy, does he remind you of anybody you've had? Does it translate to the NFL in your opinion?
Well, the ones that I've had personally, it reminds me of Alex Smith, who's a warrior, competitor, a brilliant guy. I spent many times talking to Joe throughout the year, and I know Joe Brady and Emzinger, the coordinator, and Joe really put together. But Joe was very involved in those game plans. He's that smart of a player, and Alex Smith was the same way. So Alex Smith was the first pick overall in 2004. Joe will be the first overall pick in 2020. And I just think they remind me both of each other.
What did you learn about Trevor Lawrence last night, the Clemson quarterback, Coach?
Yeah, I love Trevor Lawrence. I saw it firsthand. I witnessed it. I witnessed it against Ohio State. I loved his toughness. I think he had a couple, obviously, high passes yesterday, little inaccuracy issues. But someone asked me, do you think that hurt his draft stock? Absolutely not. He's got another year. He's a great football player. And the first thing I always look at, how tough is that guy? And this guy's tough as nails. So I think he'll be the first pick next year.
Yeah, you know what? The ball sailed on him, Coach, a little last night. Is that pressure? I mean, it did feel like the ball sailed on him.
I love that question. And we used to – I still tell the story about Cardale Jones, that when he made his first start and in the national championship game against Wisconsin, against Alabama, we played most of the game outside the hash marks because I knew adrenaline would be pumped up. I knew, you know, the worst thing that could happen is you overthrow a guy down the middle of the field. You overthrow it down the sideline, it's incomplete. So I'm sure he has played in the big show before, but, you know, he was a little inaccurate compared to what he's been throughout the most of the year.
You've won 3 national championships. When you're preparing for a game of this magnitude, Coach, do you have to coach a little different because the stage is so dramatic and grandiose?
Yeah, a lot of people think, what's the pregame speech like? How do you motivate your team? There's very little pregame speech, very little motivation. And I can't speak for Coach Ogeron or Coach Sweeney, but I would imagine it was all about prep. It was all about actually lowering the pressure, lowering, you know, calming everything down. When you're playing a team that you're supposed to beat, that's when you have to, you know, charge everybody up and get everybody going. But the bigger the game, the rivalry game, the playoffs or national championship, it's all about preparation and getting that team healthy. Now, I'd be shocked. I'd love to hear what Coach O says about that, but I think it's more about just prep, not some great pregame speech.
You never really had failure at the college level. Coach O got fired. I was told no by USC. He's a remarkable story of American redemption, and I have to admit, I am shocked by it. I always saw him as a coordinator, a great recruiter, a wonderful man, but I never saw the head coach thing. Are you a bit surprised that Ed Orgeron is hoisting the trophy last night?
Well, I love Coach O. I've known him for 20 years.
Wow.
And I knew him back when he was at Miami, and then Sonny Lubick was one of his dear friends, and I worked for Sonny, so I got to know him way back in the 90s, And then I coached against him when he was at Ole Miss. And I think, you know, he'd be the first to tell you that he probably made some mistakes there. And when he was maybe not the first choice at LSU and then all of a sudden they hire a guy, you know, I was happy for him. I thought he's the perfect fit for LSU. He's from Louisiana. He understands the culture. And he's a great recruiter. And I think the first thing he did was surround himself with elite coaches. And you got Dave Aranda. You got the co-offense coordinators on offense and let him do his deal. And that's motivate, inspire, and recruit.
Yeah. It was fun last night. I got to be honest with you. I sat and I picked Clemson to win. And about halfway through it, I'm like, you know what? This is a good story. I'm happy for LSU. If it's good for the state of Louisiana, it did feel like to me that Clemson came out. They've been here before and had a good first quarter. But, boy, Coach, the last 3 quarters, I just thought LSU was a better team. Their secondary was absurd. I felt LSU was absolutely a better team. Is that how you saw it?
No doubt. They had 7 wins against top 10 teams. 7 wins against top 10 teams. Their body work wasn't even close with anybody else in the playoffs. And that's why I picked them to win and pretty much close to the score. I thought because of Trevor Lawrence, because of the coaching staff, Coach Venables, and obviously they've been there before Clemson, I thought it'd be a heck of a game. It was. But how about this? Last year at the NFL draft, I'm sitting with Coach Ogeron, and he said, do you realize your boy saved our jobs? And he was talking about Joe Burrow. And he wasn't talking about necessarily how great of a quarterback because he was still learning. He had a very workmanlike career last year, but his leadership, his ability to motivate others, inspire others, lift everybody else around him, their level of play. He looked me right in the eye and said, your boy saved our jobs. And that's one of the reasons I picked them to be in the playoffs right out of the jump, because of Ogeron and because of Joe. Joe told me, you know, he was here on the 14 national championship team, and he knew what that chemistry is like, and he felt that they had it at LSU, and they stayed healthy, and really happy for that group.
Yeah. Coach, great seeing you. Is that your office, by the way? Is that your fancy office you're in right now?
Yeah, it's a little smaller than...